sometimes this is what life feels like. Smooth, fun, effortless, full of energy. Like we are dancing along to the beat, no problem at all. But then there are other times. Other times when we could probably relate a whole lot more to the character Elaine from Seinfeld. Do you guys remember her? Than we can to the fancy footwork that we just saw of Fred Astaire. Let's watch together.
Sweet, fancy, Moses.
Elaine dance.
It's more like a full body dry heave. Set the music.
Yikes, right? But there are these times in life where we just can't seem to find the beat. When it feels like no matter how hard we try, we're just kind of flailing around. And the things that once felt easy to us are starting to feel difficult. And the things that once filled us with life are draining us and wearing us out. There are these times where we finally just have to admit it. I am so out of rhythm in life right now. This past year has left many of us feeling that way, as we have had to face all kinds of new challenges and adjust again and again and again. It's really no wonder at all that so many of us are dancing around like Elaine right now. But here's my question. How is it that we can find our rhythm again when we have gotten out of sync in life? Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking together at how we can redeem our routines in the various aspects of our lives so that we can dance to the beat, so that we can thrive and flourish in our physical and social lives, in our work and in our leisure, in our growth and in our habits. But today we begin with the aspect of our life that's really woven through everything else, the aspect of our lives that holds everything else together, our spiritual lives. You see, when you and I get out of rhythm in life, one of the ways that we are quick to respond is by doing this, by speeding up. We think, you know, I'm out of rhythm, so I'm just going to dance as hard and as fast as I can with the hope that somewhere in the midst of all of my efforts, that somehow, some way, I am going to find the beat again. You know, we just put on more activities and more commitments onto our plate, thinking that maybe, just maybe, it will be the thing that does the trick and that helps us get our groove back. Whenever things started opening up again during this pandemic, I think that's the approach that many of us, myself included, took to try to get our rhythm again. You know, we after having to stay distant for so long, kind of jumped in to all the things that we had been missing out on, all the cookouts and the sporting events, all the concerts and all of the outings and travel that we could get. And perhaps that did help some of us. Perhaps it helped some of us find a bit of rhythm again, at least for a little bit. But here's the problem. The problem is that we can only speed up so much in life. If speeding up is always our solution when we are out of rhythm, then we're eventually going to find ourselves absolutely exhausted. According to the U.S. Bureau of American Statistics, American adults have around 5.5 hours of leisure time outside of work every day. But we fill up that leisure time super fast. And so one survey found that on average, an American has just 4 hours and 26 minutes to themselves each week. And even when we take that time to ourselves, that we have no less than 14 to-do items that are just waiting for us when we get done with that. The margins in so many of our lives are already so, so thin. And so speeding up, it just really isn't always an option. As a result, sometimes when we're feeling out of rhythm, we try a different approach. Instead of speeding up, we decide, you know what? I'm going to change around. this song, it's just not working for me anymore. And so I'm going to try to find some different music with which I can find and keep the beat in my life. It's interesting to me how this pandemic has really magnified this response of ours. During this time when so many of us have felt out of rhythm, what we've seen is house sales and job moves skyrocket. Last year, 7 million people moved to a different county. That's more than 500,000 more people that had moved the year before. And at the same time, a record number, 4 million people quit their jobs in the month of April alone this year. And what research is telling us is that what's been called the Great Resignation, it is not near over yet. The job site, Monster.com, it did a survey in which it found 95% of workers were considering a career change right now. And 92% of them were even willing to try a different industry to find the right position. The thought process kind of goes like this. We think, you know, maybe a change of scenery will be the thing that helps, that will jolt me back into rhythm. But the truth is, you know, even though we do need a change at times, we can only handle so much change. As appealing as change might be, transitions, they're all difficult. They each involve, even when moving to a new and better situation, some time for adjustment and carries with it some grief for us. And so change around, it can't always be the solution when we find ourselves offbeat in life. As a result, other times we take another approach, and that approach is to just shut down. We stop dancing altogether. It feels impossible to find our rhythm again, to jump back into our old pace of life, and so we just stop. We stop trying to engage. We withdraw and retreat from things that once were very important aspects of our lives. This is another one of the responses that has been greatly amplified by this pandemic. After having to distance ourselves from one another for so long, after having to back off of all of the activities in our life and keep them to a minimum, it has been very, very difficult for many of us to just flip the switch and engage once more. It's a phenomenon known as cave syndrome. The American Psychological Association, they talk about this. They've done a survey recently in which 49% of adults have said that they have been uncomfortable engaging back person to person in interactions. And that was regardless of whether you were an extrovert or an introvert. Our senses, they're being overwhelmed as suddenly we're having these face-to-face interactions and hearing things and seeing things that we really couldn't pick up on when we were in video calls. And then on top of all of that is the fact that so many of us experienced loneliness during this pandemic. And as you take that into account, it's really no wonder that so many people are choosing to shut down. You know, we would think that whenever we feel lonely, that it would drive us, that it would move us to connect, to engage with others. But what research tells us is that actually quite the opposite happens. It makes us withdraw and back away. It makes us feel unworthy of relationships. It makes us worry that other people don't like us or are judging us or that they don't like to be in our presence. It leads us to depression, which zaps us of our energy and our motivation. And it makes it hard for us to do the very things that would help to alleviate our loneliness, engage with others. It's this very vicious cycle. And so sometimes instead of trying to find our rhythm again, we do. We just shut down instead. The problem is we were made to dance. And so how is it that we can find our rhythm again? When we can't find the beat, we often want to rush into action. We want to do something, anything that is going to help us get back on track as quick as we can, speed up or change around or shut down. But what if? What if instead of going straight to action, God is inviting us to something else to find our rhythm again? What if He is inviting us to a deeper awareness of Him, What if the key to finding our rhythm isn't so much about how full or different or empty our schedule is, but it's instead about our ability to pause and to truly listen to the beat that God is playing in our lives? Jesus, he lived his life in perfect rhythm with God. And his life, it was just not some casual walk in the park. In fact, if you were to go home today and pick up your Bible and read the book of Mark from chapter 1 through chapter 16 in one setting, something I would encourage you to do sometime, it won't take you nearly as long as you think it will, and it'll give you a whole new perspective than just reading it chapter by chapter or a few verses at a time. But if you did that, if you sat down and you read the entire book of Mark, one of the things I guarantee you that's going to jump out and really grab your attention is how many times the word immediately is used in this text. It shows up in the book of Mark 41 times in just 16 short chapters. And it shows up 11 times in the first chapter alone, the first chapter that we read from earlier today. It's a word that helps us to feel the rhythm of Jesus's life. It's a word that helps us feel the way that he lived his life with purpose and intention. In that first chapter, we get a glimpse of a typical day in the life of Jesus. It's a Sabbath, and so he goes to the synagogue to teach. And while he's there, there's a man with an impure spirit, and so he takes time to heal him as well. And then it says, immediately as he leaves the synagogue, he goes directly to Simon Peter's house. And it says, immediately when he arrives, he's told that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is ill. And so what does Jesus do? He heals her. And then it says, after that, after sunset even, Jesus is at the door of the house healing people who are being brought to him, people who have impure spirits, people who are sick. And it says that by the time that all is done, everyone in the city has kind of gathered to that door. And Jesus, he continues healing people deep into the night. Jesus was a pretty busy guy, right? He did a lot in his lifetime. But you know what? There's a lot that Jesus didn't do as well. Jesus, he won't get to go to every place in Israel. He won't get to teach or heal every person that is in a town that he goes through or in Israel or let alone the entire world. Interestingly enough, in just a few verses, Simon Peter is going to come and find Jesus and he's going to tell him, hey, Jesus, everybody's looking for you in Capernaum. Come on. And Jesus, do you know what he says? He says, actually, no, we're not going to stay here. Let's go somewhere else so that I can preach there as well. Jesus, he had this ability to know when to say no and when to say go. He had this ability to hear the beat that God was playing in his life. And so how did he do it? How did he stay in rhythm? Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it gives us a glimpse into how he stayed in God's presence. It says this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In the midst of all that was going on, Jesus paused to listen. He prayed. We often think of prayer as a thing that we say to God, right? As this monologue that sometimes comes out sounding and looking a lot like this. But that's okay. God, he's able to make sense of all the stuff that we spew his way. And like any good parent who wants to know what's going on in his child's life, he is willing to listen for hours on end to us. But if we stop there, if we are only talking in prayer, then we are missing out on one of the big parts of the power and the potential of prayer in our lives. Prayer, it's meant to be a conversation in which we not only talk, but also listen. Now, growing up in the church, I found that often a whole lot was made of this little verse. that this one little verse was often used to be very, very prescriptive. I was kind of told that if I want to hear from God, if I want to listen, then I need to have a dedicated quiet time every single day. It had to be very early in the morning because that's when Jesus did it. And so clearly that's the holiest of times. You know, I need to have a dedicated, specific, isolated place to go every time where I've read at least one chapter of the Bible and underlined all the important words and then prayed using the acronym ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And the room needed to be set at like 71 degrees. And there had to be a scented candle nearby. And there had to be hymns lightly playing in the distance. Okay, maybe not that far, but I think you get the picture, right? Pausing to listen, it seemed like a lot. So much, in fact, that a lot of times it just seemed easier not even to try. Think about it, you know, like if we're already struggling to stay in rhythm, right? How in the world are we supposed to manage to find the energy and the time and the space to perfectly execute all of that? But what if I told you that pausing to listen can be as simple as taking one breath in and back out again? In the Christian tradition, there's a type of prayer known as breath prayer. And the talking part, the part that we do verbally to God, is very, very succinct. Usually it's just a name for God that we find meaningful, plus whatever it is that we are longing for and need in that moment. There have been times in my life where my breath prayer has been this short, where it's been, Jesus, as I've inhaled, and help, as I've exhaled. And that might not seem like a lot. It might not seem like it's very important or significant, but think about it. In that moment when I am feeling out of rhythm, in that moment when it feels like things are spinning out of control, in that moment when I have no idea whether to say no or whether to say go, in the space of just one breath, I have now welcomed God into that moment. I become aware of his presence. And now suddenly, whatever it is that's before me, whatever choice I have to make, whatever it is that I need to do, I am no longer doing that alone. Furthermore, God, he's made our bodies in such an amazing way that all these awesome things happen inside of us when we take a deep breath in and out again. Whenever we do that, our heartbeat slows down. Our blood pressure, it stabilizes, and our stress level comes down as well. All these things that can be a part of all this noise that gets in the way of us hearing the beat that God is playing in our lives, it begins to dissipate so that we can perceive that beat once again and begin to move with it. If you could compare breath prayer to a dance, I think it would be the Hokey Pokey, all right? You know, it's a dance that anybody can do anywhere, no matter if it's fast or slow. You can do it once or you can do it over and over and over again. And so this week, let me challenge you to just give it a try. Here's a simple breath prayer that any of us can pray. It's something that you can pray when you get up in the morning. It's something you can pray while you're driving down the street. It's something that you can pray in that moment when you start to feel anxiety or fear or anger rising up inside of you. But it's this simple breath prayer. Jesus, you have my attention. Jesus, as you inhale, and you have my attention as you exhale. See if that doesn't reframe the situation that's before you. And then just be ready to listen. Ready to listen for whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants to say to you in that moment. Breath prayer is a great place to start becoming aware of God's presence and to begin to hear his beat playing in our lives. It is a great way to help us stay in rhythm. But there's sometimes going to be a reason why we might need some extended space. But we're going to need an extended pause to quiet all that's going on inside of us so that we can hear the still, small voice of God. In Mark 1, one of the things you might have noticed is that when Jesus took his pause, when he went to pray, he sought out solitude and silence. Two things that we sure do not get a whole lot of in this life, unless we're pretty intentional about it. It's something that, quite honestly, many of us might actively avoid because we're a little afraid of what we might have to face or to feel if we were to get still and quiet. However, the truth is we need this sacred space. Just as we find ourselves experiencing loneliness when we are disconnected from others, we can also experience something that's called a loneliness whenever we become disconnected from what is going on inside of us. There's this need wired into us for time by ourselves. And whenever we do not get that time alone to think and to reflect and to spiritually connect, then we start to feel stressed. We start to feel irritable. We can start to feel depressed. We can begin to experience the same things that are led to whenever we find ourselves feeling loneliness. However, it is in these moments, whenever we get still and whenever we get silent, that we finally can get in touch with what is really going on in our souls. Parker Palmer has said, "The soul is like a wild animal, tough, resilient, resourceful, savvy, self-sufficient. It knows how to survive in hard places, but it is also shy. Just like a wild animal, it seeks safety in the dense underbrush. If we want to see a wild animal, we know that the last thing we should do is go crashing through the woods, yelling for it to come out. But if we walk quietly into the woods, sit patiently by the base of the tree, and fade into our surroundings, the wild animal that we seek might make an appearance." As our souls emerge in solitude and silence, there's this space created inside of us, this space where God's spirit and our spirit dwell together. And if we will pause to listen, we will hear God speaking his love into our lives once again. If we will pause to listen, we will hear God reminding us who we truly are, free from all the expectations that the world has placed upon us or the expectations that we have placed upon ourselves. If we will pause and listen, we will hear God pointing out the longings and the desires that he has planted deep inside of us that we have long been drowning out with all the activity of our lives. In essence, in solitude and silence, if we will pause and listen, we will hear the beat that God is playing in our lives. And then, like Jesus, we will have a better sense of when to say no and when to say go. Instead of just rushing in and hoping that speeding up or changing around or shutting down is going to put us back into rhythm, we instead will be able to move forward with intention and purpose. We'll not only begin to hear the beat, but we'll be able to begin to feel the beat inside of us so that we can groove to the music. True and deep and sustaining and empowering and liberating and life-giving rhythm, it only comes as we live in an awareness of God's presence. And so today, I'd like to invite us into a time of reflection together. I'd like to invite you to become aware of God's presence in your life. This is something that you can try on your own. We're going to do it together as one today, but it's a prayerful practice that I've learned from a writer and a podcaster named Emily P. Freeman. Let's pause and listen together. As we do this, it would be helpful if you had a pen and a piece of paper to write down a few things. If you have your phone with you, then you can use the Notes app and you can do the same thing with us. But as you get whatever it is that you can write your thoughts down on, take a moment to become aware of your breath. Take several breaths in and back out again. And now, clear your soul. Begin to write down anything that is causing you anxiety or concern today. Write down anything that is giving you stress. And in that moment, when you think that your list is complete, ask the simple question, God, what do you need me to know? And see if he brings anything else to mind for you today. Write that down as well. Now, name the unnamed things. Look back over your list and look for patterns and connections. Which areas of your life does it seem clear that you need a restart? And then answer the question, what is your next right step? Only one. You don't have to have all the steps laid out. It doesn't have to be the entire process. Is there one step that you can take in the week ahead toward finding rhythm in your life again? As you listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, write that down as well. And then pray with me. Jesus, you have our attention. Amen.